This is All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Michelle Norris. In Geneva, the United Nations is holding a two-day conference to focus attention on the plight of Iraqi refugees. More than 2 million Iraqis have fled to neighboring countries, and almost that many are displaced inside Iraq.
One group that's especially at risk, Iraqis who have worked as translators for U.S. troops and diplomats. The Bush administration is allowing 50 of these translators to enter the U.S. each year, and Congress is working on legislation that would allow many more to resettle in this country. NPR's Deborah Amos has a profile of one Iraqi translator, one of the few to get a U.S. visa.
Saman Ahmed likes to drive around Quantico, Virginia, his new hometown. In Iraq, driving would have been too dangerous for this 37-year-old because he worked as a translator for U.S. Marines. Ahmed knew it was risky when he signed on in 2003, but he says he believed in the American project in Iraq. He says his family couldn't be threatened. They had all been killed during Saddam's rule.
They killed my family. I have nothing to be worried about it. I'm going to do what has been requested to finish this job.
Saman's job, to follow on foot patrols in Fallujah, to drive through bomb-blasted Iraqi towns on the Syrian border, providing the crucial link between the Marines and Iraqi civilians, which is why he was targeted by insurgents. He once escaped a sniper's bullet by inches, but a bigger danger came when the Marines moved into a new town and Saman was recognized by a man on the street.
Right away he recognized me. He said, "Do you remember me? Last year I meet you in a sheep market." I told him, "No, I'm not." He said, "No, you are the same guy."
So that meant it was too dangerous.
Of course, it was easy for him to recognize me.
With so many Iraqi translators dying on the job, even the Marines said they could not guarantee Saman's safety.
The simple fact is we cannot be everywhere. But the threat is out there that anybody who puts on his boots in the morning and says, "I'm going to go work for the American forces," that threat's out there.
Marine Captain Jason Schauble worked with Saman in Iraq.
He really has nowhere to go. He can't go back out into Iraq proper because he has a price on his head, because he's conducted operations and people know him and know of him. He really has nowhere left to go.
Schauble went home in 2004 after being severely wounded. When he recovered, he made Saman's safety a personal mission. He found a lawyer and a particular visa program where he could cite Saman's, quote, significant public benefit so he could qualify for resettlement. "We have to meet our obligations to these Iraqis," says Schauble.
I think we should meet our obligations to them. I guess my question would be, is it the acceptance level of the American public of why we would not want to bring more people who have helped us out? Is there not an understanding that it's not possible to fight this kind of conflict without relying on locals? And, you know, what are the conditions under which we can say, yes, that person has done what we have expected and we want to be able to offer him something?
Many Iraqi translators are now refugees in Syria and Jordan. So far, Saman is one of the few to be admitted to the U.S. When he landed in New York, Jason Schauble met him at the airport in uniform. Schauble provided Saman the crucial link to American bureaucracy.
He was visibly relieved that I was there. And then he was able to go right to the front, he and myself and a Department of Homeland Security guy. And Sam was pretty amazed. He thought that there was going to be a lot more bureaucracy at that point, but he was very happy that he wasn't alone. I think that was the big thing.
Schauble is now his sponsor.
I didn't say anything. I hugged him. I thought I'm going to come on, police going to be around me. I get shocked, honestly. The police, they are very friendly.
The American movie Saman watched in his last year in Iraq didn't begin to prepare him for his new life. There's the overwhelming choices of fast food restaurants. He's finally got that down. More mystifying still, the process of getting a Social Security number so he could earn a living. But Sam, as he calls himself now, has learned to adapt and travels around the country teaching Arabic and Iraqi culture to Marines before they head off to Iraq.
I love Marines and I want to do anything, whatever they're going to tell me.
Deborah Amos, NPR News, Quantico, Virginia.